Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is the next new episode of Issues Christian Men's Talk. I thank you for taking the opportunity. You received a link on your text on your phone, or if you got on it through the Facebook page, on Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. I thank you. I appreciate you for taking the opportunity to listen, and we pray something will be said today that would encourage you in your walk with Christ. And as we as husbands, fathers, and sons continue to live lives that are pleasing to God, and that we are becoming leaders in the community, in the church, and in our homes. Amen. Well, just this episode, we're going to be talking about healing broken marriages and where to start. You know, because as you know, all of us know of marriages, even our marriages at a season or a time was having problems, or there was challenges and problems and issues, but yet we were able to overcome them. And tonight, I want to encourage the brothers out there, you know, that, you know, even no matter where your marriage is, your relationship with your spouse, with your wife, where it is, God can and God will, you know. And one of the things that I always share, people who know me, I share my testimony was, you know, I thank God that I was put in a church where there were couples to be examples, Christian couples, who we were able to glean from and be mentored by and be encouraged by. Because every lot of marriages and couples don't have that. So I say today that we're going to be talking about two things: how we can help those around us, and how if your marriage is a marriage, to seek out and get help and ask. And, you know, I'll say this. The testimony that I have is I've seen marriages go, and you don't hear nothing about it until it's over. You hear about the divorce. You hear about the separation. But you don't hear nothing about they were struggling, they sought help, they seek help, and I've known pastors, you know, that, you know, they, you know, sometimes we're shocked by the couples we see and find out they're getting a divorce and they're separated. But they keep showing up to church every week until they actually get the divorce decree, and then you don't see them anymore. I'm gonna leave that right there. But tonight I want to engage that. It's two brothers who'll be hearing this episode. That you right now you're in a season, or you're being challenged in your marriage, or you know a couple who's going through, and what we can do as the body of Christ to help them. Amen. I'm open with prayer. We're going to get right into discussion. I have two men of God on the line here, and they're going to share. And these brothers are qualified. They both have more than 25 years of marriage, so we're going to listen to what they got to say because they was able to endure. Amen. 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 So let me open up with prayer, and we're going to go right into the conversation. Father God, first of all, we just say thank you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, oh God. Father, we take nothing that goes on in our life for granted. Today, we just come to you humbly, oh God. We come to your throne of grace, oh God, just saying thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of people, God. Thank you for salvation, God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ and the body of Christ and the local congregations, oh God, the ones that we're connected with by spirit and by blood, Lord God. We thank you, God, for continuing, God, to keep us, oh God, in the midst of what's going on in the culture, from the physical to the spiritual battles that are going on, for the political disagreements and all these things, but yet you are still God, so we thank you for that right now. Father, I ask today, God, you would touch the lives of people, God, those in hospital beds, those who have family members in the hospital, those who have family members that may be on a sick bed or close to death, God. I say that your Holy Spirit would touch and encourage them, even in the midst of that, comfort them, guide them, direct them, give them the assurance, oh God. And yet, God, I also pray that we use that opportunity, God, to speak life, to speak the gospel, to compel them to come to know you, even on their deathbed, God. So we say thank you right now, Lord God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless the brothers that are on the line, the men that have taken time out, God. You ask, continue to bless them and their families and cover them and watch over them, God. And Father, we just say thank you right now for what you're doing in your body, in your church worldwide, that the gospel is still going forth and that the Holy Spirit is still working on souls and hearts and souls of men. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start the conversation. I'm going to plant a couple of seeds here in your hearing. For the brothers out there, like I say, there's two kinds of brothers going to be listening to this. Your marriage is in a place where you need help, and I encourage you to seek it from pastors, from counselors, from mentoring. And for other couples, you know couples, and for the brothers out there that you know a couple that may be struggling, even new couples, and I mean when I mean newlyweds, I don't care how old they are, but how long they actually been married, who may be struggling, because there's nothing more challenging, and the enemy has a field day with when bringing two lives together into one. Because remember, in marriage we are one flesh, but that transitioning, that melding together, is different, and it's different at different ages and different experiences. You know, people love each other romantically, but then when it actually comes time to live together, the other stuff come out. Amen. But I wanted just to give some encouraging things that we could think about when we're talking about marriages that we see around us in our churches and our families, that we can be an encourager. We can help our friends and our family members with their marriage problems. But again, we have to be rooted and grounded in our relationship and in the things of God. But I just want to give some consideration, some points here of who we can be to help our friends keep their marriage strong. Amen. The first thing is to be available. Sometimes we just have to be available and spend time as couples. A lot of couples spend a lot of time apart, running around, but what are we doing to spend time to reach out to them? It could be a lot of things. It could be watching their kids so they can go on date nights. I mean, a lot of people say that, but a lot of people, they have their schedules and their commitments. They can't even find time for that. But can we make ourselves available to help them to edify their marriage? Brothers, reach out to other brothers. Be a good listener, because sometimes if a brother needs to get some stuff off his chest. So but again, this comes with us building relationships that we can be trusted. Can we be a trusted friend? That we can be a good listener, because a lot of times the brother thinks he just needs to get some stuff off his chest, and then he can regroup and deal with what's going on. Because a lot of it is the weight of the world comes upon him, and he don't have time to think. And then he responds in a way that's not beneficial to this marriage. You can be an advisor and an encourager. Now, that's the thing where you have to be led by the Spirit, and you have to really be, you know, you have to really pray about that when we talk about giving advice. But some things, you know, that you can help them with and work them through. But again, these are things that we have to, as men, as brothers, because if we call ourselves brothers in Christ, because some of the things that you went through, because a lot of it is sharing how you've overcome and things that you did when the challenges come with life and how you might have prayed or what you did or even that you went to counseling or you sought counseling. Because some brothers, you know, we need to be able to refer them to say, hey, I think you should call pastor or hook up with someone where you and your wife can talk about it and have a third party that can give you some counsel and direction in it. And with that, being trustworthy, you know, because, you know, brothers, some of us gossip more than women. I know women have the reputation, but some of the brothers, y'all just can't hold water. So, again, this is also about us and what kind of friends we want to be and what kind of true brothers in Christ we want to be to our brothers when they're going through. Be a giver of hope, you know. We all know that divorce is not a thing in the church, should not be a thing in the church, but we have to sometimes give people a hope and let them know that it can get better, it will get better, but you have to, you know, trust the process, trust God, and then start to examine and change their behaviors. And if they need to improve in some areas in communication, improve in some of the things that they're doing in their marriage. And I know for us, talking to another brother about how he's treating his woman, that's a challenge, that, you know, because in the world, that's a line you didn't really run across. But in the body of Christ, we should be able to. And that's why I talk about being filling relationships, being in koinonia, being connected. This is why I always say it's the importance of men's ministry when men just come together and share common experiences, because we know we have more in common than we are different. Be an intercessor, praying for the brother, praying for his marriage, praying for him, praying that God will guide and direct and give him the wisdom to get through his current situation. Amen? And one of the last things I'm going to give you also advice is to guard your own marriage. About when even you in the spirit, because a lot of it is spiritual, and you have to be spiritually in a place where your marriage is rooted and grounded. So don't be out there doing stuff and your wife don't know what you're doing and how you're talking to another couple. Because again, you and your wife are one flesh. And maybe your wife talking to your brother's wife, again, it's about couples coming together and gleaning from each other. That's what helped me and my wife in our early Christian walk in the church we happen to be part of, was that we gleaned over folk that were married just as long as us or longer, and were in the faith, well, definitely were in the faith longer than we were. But, you know, sometimes for my own self, I could say this, I had to humble myself and see what kind of marriage I really wanted to have and whose marriage I would want to emulate. And then through the Word of God and through my submission and through learning how to do things different than what some of us have learned at home from how we were raised, you know, all that stuff ain't necessarily good. But when we line our marriages up with the Word of God is when we can make a change and find solutions. So those are some of the things I just wanted to plant the seeds on that we think about when we're dealing with other marriages and those around us. And if need be, you know, again, if your marriage is struggling, going through some things, seek help. Begin to pray. Begin to look for the solutions. Get into, what they used to say, get into the process of making it better. Because if you do nothing, nothing will change. Amen? Amen. So that's all I got. I'm going to bring in the brothers now. Pastor Arthur, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. I can hear you very well. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, bro, first of all, let me say thank you and appreciate you for joining us. Who is this? Press 1 on your keypad. The last four numbers are 3094. Press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in. I'm not sure who that is. I got to look that up. All right, but anyway, if you want to talk, let me know. Push 1 on your key on your phone. Amen. Well, Pastor Arthur, you're here. And, brother, I know you heard my intro. And I'm going to come to you. You want to jump in. You know, healing broken marriages, where can we start? Because, you know, the statistics out there, a lot of people like to quote them about divorce rate and separation date in the church compared to the world. And we're struggling. So what do you say, sir? Where do we start to heal broken marriages?
Well, the healing process, first, you have to be able to diagnose what the issue is. And in order for us to do that, we need to go back to the very beginning of the equation. What is marriage? And we, as Christian men, ought to recognize that God was very clear about what marriage is, the roles we have to take, and what our responsibility as the man is in the relationship. And once we can get a handle on the part where a man bears the full weight of the peace in his household, and that he must be a leader as Christ leads, he's got to lead his spouse into the presence of the Lord. If a man never submits to God and his plan, he can't expect his spouse to submit to him. A wife will submit to a man that she's certain is in submission to God, and that is the only way that she has an assurance that God is covering the family. As a matter of fact, the Word of God calls our children to obey our parents in the Lord. And when it says in the Lord, there is an inference there. It's not even an inference. It's clear direction that as parents, as husband and wife, we must be walking in the will of the Lord. So the first thing that we need to do when we're considering a healing in our marriage, we have to evaluate how well we're walking in the will of the Lord.
Amen, sir. You know, I agree, and I think that's where a lot of us have to, well, marriage is really struggling, you know, because one of the things I learned was, you know, I was told that, you know, where are you in your Christian walk, and where are you in your faith? And I think that's where it can start, because your relationship with God is very important. That is the foundation. If we confess to be Christians and men of God, where is our relationship? Because I think that has a lot to do with it, and our submission to the Spirit on how we handle the issues of life and the issues of marriage. And I agree with you. That's one of the things that we definitely, every brother, you know, every day we need to check ourselves and examine ourselves, where we are in God, in our relationship with God, and then we can take on the rest of the world. Amen?
Amen. In your opening scripture, it was speaking of Christ being the chief cornerstone. I'd like the brothers that are listening to take heart to that, because, as I was saying before, we bear, they say, well, it's not fair for me to have to carry all the weight of this relationship, but Christ was the chief cornerstone, and as the cornerstone is the first brick that's laid, and from that particular point, that cornerstone determines whether the building is going to be in where it's supposed to be, and how everything comes off of that cornerstone. And it's very important that we take our role very, very seriously. We talk about being ambassadors for Christ, and we often think of it in a global or a community setting. But all ministry starts at home. If we're not ministering as men at home, we can't expect our testimony and our ministry in the community to be effective. That's where you get cut your teeth? You cut your teeth on ministry at home, because it's honest, you know.
Yep, and your wife will not hold it back, because if it don't sound right, she ain't going to go for it. But that's a whole other discussion. I agree. It is, because I talked about this in the previous show, in the previous conversation, you know, to be a husband in itself is a God-given anointing, a talent, a God-given position, you know, because when he called us to be husbands, I don't think it has the same reverence or importance that it used to have to be a husband. You know, we got caught up with it. I think that the whole title and the responsibilities got watered down. But as us in the body of Christ, we have the scripture to define who we are. That's the other thing. We have to start defining ourselves of what Scripture says we are. And when the Scripture uses the word husband, there's a lot of responsibility and authority that comes with that. That we have to, that we, and I think that's one of the things that we have to, as men, we have to review, and we also have to propagate or put out there for the generation coming behind us and for people who are struggling in their marriage. Like you said, the husband is the cornerstone and the foundation. The marriage and the relationship and the family is going to be built on us. And it took me a while to understand that, and I think a lot of brothers, people get married now, and they don't get that. They just want a wife. They just want a woman. They just want somebody to live with. They want all these other things that have nothing to do with being a husband. And then when it doesn't meet their expectation, where the problems start. Or they wasn't really thought it was going to. They would have to do all this. You understand what I'm saying? Because I think some of it is they not really have been properly prepped at what it means to be a husband. What do you say, sir?
Well, I think first of all, it's very important. It's very important for us to get rid of our defective perspective and our stinking thinking, and get back to the meat of it. As God is the head of our lives, the man is the head of the household. And that authority that you're talking about is very significant. We underestimate the authority that a husband has. And it's not the kind of authority that that we have to pull out the whip in the chain or whip in the chair and try and whip people into shape. We're not talking about a lord. We're not talking about a tyrant, and you're not the only adult in the room. Man is responsible for three things for his wife: to protect her, provide for her, pray for her. It boils down to just three things: safety, subsistence, and soul. And so when we begin to understand that our role of authority is not to enslave someone, but to partner with them in their Christian walk, that's the first concern we ought to have. We ought to have first concern of making sure that our spouse is spiritually fulfilled. And that is the chief of all of our concern, because Christ, as he's married to the church, we are his bride. He's the groom. And as he's taking care of the church, that's exactly how we as men are to take care of our homes and to take care of our wives. And I count that a privilege to be able to do that. It's hard sometimes. It's very difficult. I don't think I would get as much joy out of it if it were easy, but it is one of the greatest privileges that I have.
Amen. Well, let me, okay, you know what? You threw that out there. But now, at what point in your marriage did you get to that place? Did you start off like that? Because that's what the brothers are thinking. Say, wait a minute, you started off like that? Because everybody start off at somewhere. And when did you cross over to the other side, brother?
Let me tell you. I'm mad at you, Deacon Farr.
Oh, man, right, come on. This is Issues Christian Minister. It's okay.
I'm teasing. My wife and I have been married for 36 and a half years, pretty much. This Christmas will mark the 40th anniversary of us dating. Our first date was Christmas of 1981. And our friends, when we were dating, we were engaged even. Our friends called us magpies because we were always fussing about something. She'd do something, and I'd be like, yeah, uh-huh. And I'd have an attitude. I'd do something, and she'd have an attitude. I want to pay honor to Reverend Henry G. Davis, who is my great uncle, but was also a great man of God. When we told him that we were getting married and we wanted him to wanted to use him to do the ceremony, he said, okay, and that was it. And that was back in the era where marriage counseling was really, you know, the big thing. And we looked at him and we said, well, when you want to get together to do marriage counseling? He said, marriage counseling? I said, yeah. And he looked at me, he said, you want some marriage counseling? I'll give you some marriage counseling. Have a seat. And he told me, this is what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
He told both of us. He says, get your own house. Don't live in somebody else's house. He said, because one woman going to want the salt shaker on the table, one's going to want the salt shaker on the counter in the kitchen. Said, don't let anybody tell you how to run your marriage. It ain't nobody's business what y'all are arguing about. It doesn't have anything to do with your welfare. If they aren't putting food on your table, paying your mortgage, or paying all of your bills, they don't have no business in your business. He says, don't let anybody in your business. And the truth of the matter is, our first 4 years of marriage went exactly like he predicted. He said, the first year, one of y'all's going to think that they run this marriage. The next year, the other one's going to think that they run the marriage. He said, the third year, y'all going to fight it out. Y'all going to both think that y'all running the marriage. He said, about fourth year, y'all going to get a clue that y'all can't do this thing by yourself. It's got to be a team. And that's exactly how the first 4 years of our marriage
Amen.
Was. Exactly.
Amen.
I don't know who thought who was in charge or who what, but that's exactly what we went through. And it settled down for us, not in that first 4 years, but it settled down somewhere in the middle, around a 15, 16-year mark, because I realized that I wasn't being the man that I needed to be, and I was in danger of losing my marriage, because the truth of the matter is a woman can only take so much. It wasn't that she said anything to me, but I began to realize that our marriage was in trouble because I could feel that our marriage was in trouble. And I met this wonderful group called the Christian Law Enforcement Family Mission. And Tim Eldridge, who is a chaplain for the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, and such great men as Jack Pope, who is a chaplain for Oklahoma City Police Department, Greg Gilner, and those fine people, many people that we met, our life turned around because at that point we put God first and we learned how to put God first.
Amen, amen. What year you said that was, the 15th, 16th year?
About the 15th or 16th year.
Oh, okay. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, you know what? I agree, because, you know, that was about the same time mine. I got married in 83, and it was about 93, 90. Wait a minute. My son was 14, so it was like 95, 96. And you're right. That thing came over us because we was at that place. But at the time, we came to Christ, and my wife started going to church with one of her friends, my neighbors, and the process began. And then once I got into the church, you know, there was some things that were still, even while we were in the church, let me say that to those that are listening, even while I was going to church, the marriage didn't really turn that corner until we sought the help, we seeked it, and we like you say, connected and started to and be transparent that we wanted our marriage to be different than what it was. And it's funny that you say it was already 15 years in. That used to be my testimony. I had 15 years in. I had 15 years married before Christ, and then I think I got 20 now. I hope my wife ain't listening, but I got about 20 in Christ. So, you know, all the other stuff is forgotten and forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, listen, this is Christian Men's Talk, brother. This is Deacon Thomas Fogg here with Pastor Jay Offa. And I'm bringing in someone here, came in. I'm going to, let me see, I'm going to bring you in. Your last four numbers are 4580. Good evening, brother. How are you? Got a question? Comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'm here because I saw the topic, Christian men having problems with their marriages. So theoretically, though, if both the husband and the wife put God first, why should there be any significant problems in a marriage at all?
That's the question? How long have you been married?
I'm not married.
Oh, you're not married. Okay, that's, I just want to clarify that. You know what, I'm going to go and then I'll let Pastor Offer share, but, it, you know, you got to remember, we are, even in the faith, in the church, we are still human beings and we're not perfect, okay? We all, I mean, if the Bible says if you think you don't have sin, you call God a liar, and we're only human beings, and we can do a lot of things to prepare ourselves, we can do a lot of things, but life is going to happen. Things are going to happen. It's because marriage is not romantic fantasy. Marriage is life together and two individuals coming together to become one flesh and make a one life and one home. So there's going to be conflict. And that conflict is the origin of the conflict is in Genesis because of the fall. But we as Christians, we have a resource where we can overcome those things. But we have to be mindful of them, and we have to be open spiritually to grow together. Because the woman, whenever you, if you find a wife, the woman that you marry is not going to be the woman you're going to be with 30, not even 5 years, 10 years down the road. And there's going to be conflict in marriage because of who we are as human beings. Pastor Offer, what do you say, sir?
Yeah, I want to be clear on that testimony that I shared. Even after we started putting God first, there are still challenges that that happen. Just because you're putting God first doesn't mean that it's, you know, I like the way that you put it earlier, Deacon Farr. It's not a romantic journey that, you know, is full of flowers and stuff, and it's a Francis Ford Coppola film, you know, with beautiful music and stuff. Sometimes, you know, the music that's in the background is acid rock. You know, it gets crazy. And and you never know. One day you'll do something that just because you did that one thing and she's not feeling well that day, and the circumstances are just right for you to make a misstep, you're going to make a misstep. But it's important when we have that mindset that we're slow to take offense. Now, I tell you, we're slow to take offense. Sometimes it's not easy to be slow to take offense. I'll explain a little bit later on in the program when I have an opportunity, you know, how that happens. But, you know, it's the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. And just because we're walking by faith doesn't mean we aren't going to step on a landmine every now and then. But what our faith does is our faith protects us so that we can get past the landmine experience and get back into the green pastures by that water that they were talking about in Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, Brian, and I agree with what you're saying, but you can jump right in because, you know, this is what we want to talk about because it is about overcoming. And it's about overcoming some of the things, some of the challenges of marriage. I mean, like I say, you know, the way you start out is not the way you're going to end. And but you have to be, you know, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepped to be able to withstand and endure the challenges of marriage and the challenges of even like you said, Pastor Offer, I'm going to come back to you right now about that. When we make those missteps, and I think some of that is about forgiveness, some of that is about correcting miscommunication, because communication is big, and having to correct some miscommunications when things happen and we're misunderstood in that relationship, because living together, being around each other, and dealing with all the things that we deal with in marriage and in our relationship and what we're dealing with on the outside of our marriage can all affect it. And I think that's one of the things you talked about with when you had your quick marriage counseling session. Some things you can't let come into your between the relationship between you and your wife. So you're moving to grow more and more, year by year, day by day, month by month, to one flesh. You're not going to be one flesh at that wedding, honeymoon, and reception. That's not that's celebrating, and that's feeding people, and that's you know, feeding people who are freeloading off of you. That's not has nothing to do with marriage. That's just a party. What do you say, sir?
I think it's basically people forsaking the process. You know, it's just like it was told to us that it was going to take us 4 years to figure out that we got to work as a team. What he didn't tell us was that once the team comes in to into focus, we've got to still go through the other processes of a team. There's four stages to the team coming together: forming, storming, norming, and performing. We get together and we're like, oh, we are teams. So now we've figured this out. And then everybody, as before, is like this jockeying for position, which was those 3 years getting there. That was the storming. And then we had the norming, where it's like we hit the realization. But the performance part is where you really learn how to do it. You know, you learn how to work as a team. You learn how to make decisions. You learn, you know, the pitfalls. You know, you say, well, let's try it this way, and then you try it that way, and it doesn't work. And sometimes, you know, there's barriers. Let me share this thought with you. Men allow intruders into their bedroom, their house, and their relationship. You know, we often think about infidelity as the chief intruder. But what happens when we are sleeping with the enemy? When we're in the bed by ourselves, what happens when we are sleeping with the enemy? The greatest intruder into a marriage is ego. His ego, her ego. And ego can be good, ego can be bad. When ego is bad, it means that we're edging God out. Go ahead and write that down, edging God out. But good ego is when we're exalting God only. And when we exalt God only, that's when we begin to understand and think for a minute. You know, and I people laughed at it. I think it was Chris Rock. I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. And they made it humorous. But the truth of the matter is you have to constantly remind your ego that you love your wife, that you cherish your wife, that she's been given to you by God. And any gift that anybody gives to me, I'm going to cherish it and I'm going to take care of it. You know, I've got grandchildren now. People give me gifts. The grandchildren get a hold of it and break it. And I'm upset about that because I wanted to take care of that gift. And so that's how I look at my wife. You know, my wife is a gift from God that I have. And I try to take very good care of her. Sometimes I don't go and shine the silverware up, as it were, you know, all the time. And it gets a little tarnished. So when our relationship shows that tarnish, I have to be patient and I have to put in the work, the extra work that's due to make sure I'm polishing the silverware so that it's very, very shiny. You know, when you have a woodwork piece, you know, and it happens to the glue over time gets dry and brittle and the pieces fall apart, you have to have the patience to take and put some, clean the joints and put new glue in and reset those joints and repair that woodwork. So what I'm saying is the work starts after you get it together, so to speak, and you begin to learn. And there's always going to be pitfalls because the enemy doesn't want you to be happy. The enemy doesn't want you to live in the joy of the Lord. The enemy wants to prove to you that all that joy of the Lord stuff goes out the window because you're sitting there arguing about dishes in the sink, whether or not the laundry was put in the basket or not, whether the yard got cut appropriately. The enemy uses all of that stuff to bring a wedge between them. But you know what? I'm going to be real honest, and I'm assuming that men are listening. the most effective way to fulfill the last thing that my uncle told me. He said, never go to bed angry. And he didn't tell me how to achieve that until later on in life I found out. My wife and I have a rule. If we really want to argue, we don't argue out in the house or anything like that. We go in our room and we take our clothes off and then we argue. And I got to tell you, I have not won a single argument yet with my wife
using that.
And she always wins. I'm just saying.
Amen. Amen. Okay, there you go. That was a tip right there. We gave you that one for free. We ain't gonna take an offering or nothing. That's it.
No. Nah.
Yeah. Argue, get in the shower, get naked, and then finish the conversation. Amen.
That's correct.
Amen. All right, brother. Wow, that was good. That was good. I got myself together, though. I'm good. All right. But, yeah, but, you know, you touched on a few things there, bro. Hopefully the brothers are listening, man, because in the midst of all what we're saying, it's about saving marriages. It's about saving marriages one marriage at a time. It's about you realizing your marriage is struggling. I think that's one of the both of us have said this. It's about realizing where your marriage is and where you want your marriage to be and your relationship. And where you are in your relationship with God, and what needs to be done. You know, you talk about ego. You know, we don't talk about ego much anymore. We call it pride. We call it selfishness. We call it all everything. But it is about ego, and that's you're correct. And the enemy uses that because that ego will get you to say things. You want to be right. You don't want to give in. You want it your way. You want it how you want it, when you want it, and all those things, not considering the other person. And then now that right there, we know that's a violation of what God says, what love is. We have to consider the other person, our spouse. Our spouse, man, that should be the first person we should consider about them. Because, again, what I like to tell brothers is, remember, you asked her to marry you. I know the traditions around here are changing, and I know we don't go ask the father permission and all that stuff. It depends where you are. And whatever, but at some point you asked her to come be your wife. So now, what are you going to do to maintain that thing and keep that thing? And like you said, there's going to be challenges all the way through. You know, because like I said, the romance and stuff is nice, but wait till the kids start coming. Wait till your finances and job situations and the ups and downs of life come. How are we going to deal? You know, and how is your relationship being built on a foundation and built on a rock that's going to withstand the storms of life together? And what's going to be your strategy? Is it prayer? Is it fasting? Is it knowing at some point to seek counseling, seek help? Put yourself in a place. You know, one of the things I like to tell brothers all the time, you know, because I used to have this conversation a lot with young brothers that are getting married. They think they can keep their single friends and think they can still hang out with their single female friends. That ain't gonna work out. Okay, so if that's what you think you can do because you can and you want to do, then you're not considering your spouse. And the same thing for wives. What we're talking to brothers right now, because you know you have women who have male friends, but they have that relationship has to be curtailed. And that's one of the things you know we used to talk about. Something that came up in previous men's meetings and discussions that, you know, brother's wife, she had male friends, like, that she's not related to. And it made him feel uncomfortable. But anytime it was brought up, it became an issue. I'm just putting it out there. It may be you, it may not be you, or somebody you know. But these are the things that we have to deal with as husbands and in marriage. And like you said, you know, when you said those enemies, that was good, though. You threw ego in there. I was looking for you to say something else because I wrote down a couple things, but ego wasn't one of them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. But again, brothers, this is Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and tonight in this episode we're talking about healing broken marriages and where to start. And one of the things I think me and Pastor Alfred was saying is you have to recognize what's going on in your marriage. You have to see it. You have to open your eyes and want to do better and want it to be better. And I think that's whatever the challenge is, seek a solution. You know, seek a way that you want to move from where you are now. Because, and again, I say to brothers, if you're in a relationship right now in your marriage, and you are stressing and you are struggling for whatever reason, as the man, as the husband, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because even in the midst, I'll share this, and Pastor, I'm going to come back to you again. You know, it's in the midst, if you keep it going, there's going to be a time when your wife is not even hearing what you're saying. What do you think about that? What do you say about that, sir?
I think that I honestly do agree that sometimes we want to keep stuff moving or whatever, and they're done. They check out, and they don't hear a word of what you're saying. And that's why it's so important, because that's flesh. You have to be able to understand and recognize when flesh is at the forefront. The brothers are going to sit there and usually when I counsel couples anyway, brothers don't like me. And the reason they don't like me is because I put that emphasis on make sure that whatever you're doing, flesh is in the background. And the truth of the matter is, they're like, but dude, you know, she's mad because I forgot to pick my clothes up off the bathroom floor when I was done in the bathroom showering, and I didn't put them I just forgot. And it's like, okay, that might seem like the issue. And we like to say that we are not mind readers. But Christian brothers, you know that if you surrender yourself to the Spirit will give you utterance to speak. That's a ministry moment. I know people don't talk like that when they're talking about marriage, but when your wife is upset at you, that's a ministry moment. You know, you don't just have to minister to her when she's mad at everybody else in the world. You need to be able to minister when she's mad at you. I'm gonna share this thought with you real quick.
All right.
It's hard for flesh to surrender to the Spirit, and because our flesh is not accustomed to that dynamic, it's difficult for us to achieve it absent the Holy Spirit. Meaning, the Holy Spirit has to give you the strength to make that bridge to where you leave the flesh behind. And you press into the Holy Spirit. We can't emulate what we do not recognize. What we don't know what it looks like, we can't recreate it. And flesh doesn't understand how to move in the Spirit because it's moving in that ego of edging God out. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to take control, He'll lead us to that place and also tells us that we have arrived by renewed strength and power over things we have never been able to call into subjection before. So when a brother says, I'm not a mind reader, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is a heart reader. When the brother says, but she's not telling me anything to help me get to a place where I understand her. When you give it to the Holy Spirit, He'll bring around the understanding. We have got to realize that we can't do this thing in the flesh, not in a substantial way and not in a lasting way. And that's what I had to learn. And trust me, after 36 and a half years of marriage, I'm still not good at it. But I know what it looks like, and I know I can press towards it. And as I press towards it, I find that God does move on my behalf.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. You know, and you're right. And that's what brothers, again, here at Issue Christian Men's Talks, we want to encourage you because as husbands, And we have to be able to be able to engage and take on these things. Again, this is the enemy trying to destroy marriage, trying to destroy the church, trying to destroy relationships. But we have to be, some of it is spiritual. That's why the whole foundation of being a husband is going to be our relationship with God. If we are men of God, if we call ourselves Christians and men of God and men of the Word and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, all that should be poured into our marriages and into our homes. And that's where it's going to begin. And like I said, if you are in your relationship right now and there are issues challenging your relationship with your wife, that's breaking it, what are you going to do? Because it's one thing I learned a long time ago. You don't fight your spouse to win. You fight the enemy to resolve the issue. Pastor told me again, I said back when I was first being mentored, Pastor said something at a marriage conference and it resonated with me. The thing why him and his wife don't argue, because they decided, both of them, not to be stupid at the same time. Because if one of y'all is stupid and the other one keeps their mouth shut, it won't escalate. But if you're stupid at the same time, then you're going back and forth. He used stupid, I use another word. But anyway, you know, and that's something, and that could be it. Sometimes in our wisdom, we have to be quiet. Because if we're quiet, then we just might hear what's bothering our spouse, what's bothering our wife. You know, that, and I like, brother, and then, like I said, we have more in common than we are different. Because leaving clothes on the floor, my first couple years of marriage, hey, I pick it up when it's time to do laundry. I mean, come on, stop bothering me. But anyway. But again, we have more in common than we are different, because I think that's something some of us can relate to. But then now, if you step back and think about it, if your wife is a woman who knows how to keep house, now you're pushing her buttons. Because I'm going to say all these wives out here know how to keep house. But if your wife is one who knows how to keep a house, how you think it's going to make you feel that you coming behind and making a mess? Who you think cleans the bathroom after you in the bathroom? Unless that's one of your chores. Because most guys, they got outside chores, and your wife does the inside chores. Then you come inside and make a mess over what she just worked on. But you don't see it that way. You see her pestering you about clothes on the floor. I'll let that sink in for the brothers out there. Amen. But, Pastor, again, you know, I appreciate you. I'm going to do some more of these about marriage, and you're welcome, if you're scheduled for Mr., to come chime in and call in. I'll send you a text. And for my brothers out there, if you receive this text, or if you're listening online, if you're listening live tonight, or if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or if you've got the link from my Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, or, again, if I text it to you, hey, I encourage you, be part of it. Let me know if you're interested in coming on the show and participating. Pastors, elders, deacons, and, you know, if you have questions, you can post the questions on the Facebook page. You can text me the questions, and we can cover them. I plan on bringing some more brothers in. Not only my prerequisite for most of the pastors, well, you know, I talk to them, you got to have 25 or more years in, and then, you know, we'll, you know, but... That's a soft prerequisite. I'll let some of you other guys talk, but, you know. But anyway, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Christian Men's Talk. Pastor, I'm going to give you the final word, and you can close out in prayer. And, again, I appreciate you being part of it and joining me and sharing your insight and wisdom. And I pray that a word was spoken tonight that would draw a brother closer to God and would draw a brother to a solution to the issues he's dealing with in his marriage with his wife, that the healing can begin. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God defines marriage through his demonstration as a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. He demonstrates it throughout the entire Bible. Covenant is the key word. It's a codicil that sets the boundaries and goals for your future with your spouse. If you're not married and considering marriage, be prayerful about it and deliberately seek God, and I mean seek God with your whole heart, before you even ask her to marry you. What if you are already married? Talk to your spouse and explain to her that you are committed to the marriage and that you are committed to being the best husband to her that you possibly can be. Don't use it as an opportunity to tell her what you expect from her. Don't even bring that up. Just bring to her your commitment to her and stay prayerful. Pray for her night and day and pray that God gives you the wisdom and the knowledge to fulfill all of the needs of that household as he gives you strength through the Holy Spirit. I'm so committed to this process, to the very premise of successful godly marriages that I'm willing to put myself out there to mentor anybody that needs to be mentored. And you can reach me through just sending an email to pastor@harvestalive.com. That's pastor@harvestalive.com. And you reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Jay Offer. We're on Instagram. The church is on Instagram at Harvest Alive. And I'm on Twitter at Joe Offer 2, the number 2, at Joe Offer, the number 2. So if you reach out to me, you need some help. You need somebody to pray with you tonight to help you to get through a situation because you're at that place. Give me a call. I'll be there to help you through.
Amen. So you can close out in prayer, please.
Oh, okay. Father God, you are just so awesome and powerful. There's none other on this earth, in the universe, anywhere, oh God, that is greater than you. And so we are thankful that you are so mindful of us, that you look out for our needs every day. Lord, we don't even make up a tittle of the universe you created, but you loved us so much that you gave your son Jesus Christ that we might be able to be redeemed and brought back to you out of our sinful nature into a salvation and eternal life as you promised it. Father God, every man that's listening to this broadcast, I pray that you release your Holy Spirit into them right now. Cover them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Cover the children. Every boy and girl, whether they're an adult or not, bless every spouse, every wife. Dear God, let your spirit move in a mighty way that there be a movement to strengthen marriages all throughout the land, that you would receive the glory, that you would receive all of the honor, and that the world would know that there is a God, there is a Savior who has risen, and there is a hope for us to be in your presence forevermore. Let us walk in the Spirit, Father God, by faith and not by sight. And we'll be so careful, O God, as to give you the praise. Bless also, Brother Deacon Farr. Keep him, Father God, and as he continues to minister through Issues Men Talk, continue to bless him, Father. Open the doors and lead him in the direction that you would have him to go. This is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. We are sons and